was going to ask firstly if you can remember what brought you to Birmingham in the first instance, because you were previously at LSE, is that right?
Well, I did my PhD at LSE,
yeah.
And then was looking forward to a career in being a sociology lecturer and doing research and lecturing full time. Applied to one or two places and was accepted by Birmingham. Initially for a year, then moved to Manchester for a year. A permanent job became available at Birmingham. I applied for that and was turned down by the Vice-Chancellor, who objected to what I'd done when I was there in the first year.
Okay.
So I was actually technically at Birmingham for 2 years, first one, then in Manchester. And when they turned me down, various people said, come anyway and give the lectures you would have been giving in a sort of honorary capacity. So I was there for a couple of years.
Well, when you first arrived the first time around, how would you sort of describe the atmosphere amongst on campus, you know, politically?
Oh, gosh. From the top down, conventional, getting on with business as usual, students, a bit restless, a significant minority of students, a bit restless, noticing what had been happening in one or two other parts of the country and thinking, ooh, should we be thinking along similar lines? And so when I came from the LSE, one or two of the students and one or two of the more radical lecturers said, Dick, what was it like at the LSE? What did you do there? Can you give us a bit of advice? So I was keen to get stuck in.
So were you quite involved with the protests at LSE previously whilst you were doing your PhD?
Yeah.
What was your kind of involvement? Were you kind of...
Crikey.
No, it's a long time ago.
No, I suppose kind of informal advisor and small c consultant to the students' union and to the students who were keen to try and get reforms and change.
Because I've been through kind of the archives in Birmingham, and it seems like amongst the students there was quite a lot of demand for kind of further democratisation of
yes.
university structures. Would you say that's one of the key issues?
That was the key issue, I would have said. That things are done to us, and we come and we are supposed to be happy with what exists, but actually we've got, maybe we're young, but we've got ideas too, and can there be a more democratic structure? Can we participate? Can we be... No. Well, we'd like to be... No. Well, we'll sit in then.
What was Birmingham Sociology Department like? I don't know, was Charles Madge still there when you arrived? Or
Charles
he left?
Madge, no, he was there, and he was one of the people who appointed me in the first place.
I mean, because he's obviously, with his background in mass observation, quite a progressive figure.
Yeah, a very interesting guy, and one reason why I was glad to come to Birmingham. And his deputy, a guy called Guy Buldamas, who equally very interesting, very very bright fellow. But not initially terribly keen on restless students, and just a bit worried that if it all comes from the sociology department and the faculty of commerce and social science, will the powers that be not just be cross with the students, but cross with me, Charles Madge, and others? And so there was a fair bit of anxiety about what the repercussions might be on what was already thought by more conservative chemical engineers and whoever. A bit of a radical department, anyway.
Mm. And did you at what point did did you have any relationships with the Centre for Contemporary Cultural Studies? I mean, did you personally have any kind of relations with the Centre for Cultural Studies, and did the Sociology Department more generally?
Well, a natural affinity anyway, academically. But I would say, in a way, with Stuart Hall in particular, an immediate sympathy and empathy with what the students were doing. Someone who had the respect of lots of the more thoughtful and radical students. And so Stuart, a substantial source of advice and encouragement to students.
So in terms of the actual the sitting at Birmingham, did you kind of take on a similar role to previously, as a sort of consultative role, or were you slightly more
ish.
Active?
Yeah. No. Partly because a bit, now a lecturer, not a student. This only makes sense if the students are really keen. Mm. So whilst I can advise and encourage, I shouldn't be, in any formal sense, leading.
Mm. And what are your reflections of the sitting in Birmingham? I think it lasted for about a week, didn't it? Give or take a few days.
Yeah.
Can you remember the kind of the atmosphere and the attitude of the university management towards the students?
Well, I've mentioned Stuart Hall, mm-hmm. and talked about Keybold Armisen, Charles Madge. A small minority of staff who were supportive and sympathetic. Large majority who were rather more small-c conservative, and this is rocking the boat. It's not the job of students to be doing this sort of thing. Let's just get on with the business of ordinary university life. I'm the Vice-Chancellor. Come on. I want to be running a ship with an even keel, not one where the boat is rocking.
Was that Aitken then, the Chancellor at that point, or Hunter?
Hunter, I think. Is.
Right. Who had just recently arrived, I believe.
I think so.
And was a bit unsure of how to...
Yeah.
Yeah. And in terms of the centre more generally, you know, do you remember other figures at the centre, like students? Do you remember the centre being quite at the forefront of the student protests? Or, you know, you mentioned Stuart Hall was quite sympathetic, and he was obviously a research fellow.
I'm going to be bad at names. Yeah. Two or three others I would have said from cultural studies.
Yeah.
Two or three from sociology politics department, but not many.
Mm. Because obviously, by this point, Stuart Hall was quite a kind of renowned figure, you know, politically, and kind of with his background from the New Left. Do you think it was important to have someone of his stature, kind of supportive of the scene?
Certainly, a lot of students respected him, and therefore valued the fact that he was clearly being sympathetic. I wouldn't have said it was crucial. I think they were of a mood to move in the direction in which they did anyway, but just felt encouraged and, is the word, legitimised by him being able to express sympathy and support.
Where did the kind of that, the politics of 1968, where did that end up going to, you know? Because you mentioned it was based around like sort of desire for further democratic participation in university, you know, management. Where did that end up after 1968? Where did that end up going off to? Because I mean, I know you've obviously moved into community politics for the last however many years it is. Is there a link?
First, I think I'd say within Birmingham University and other universities, a modicum of change within the system. Students allowed to sit on Senate and things for the first time, two of them or whatever, but no substantial reorganisation of the system. In my second stint, having come back from Manchester, within that second year.
That would have been roughly about 1970, would you guess?
1970, 71-ish.
Something like that.
So happened that a couple of people from Borstal Heath came to the university and said, we know a bit about what's been going on, but actually you think you've got need for reform. Borstal Heath is in a terrible state. We need a bit of help. Anyone here interested in helping? As a sociologist, I'm supposed to be interested in society. So came and had a look, did one or two things, and before too long thought, actually, why am I doing sociology in the Ivory Tower? It would be much more interesting to get stuck into Borstal Heath and see whether I can be of any use there. And then follows Borstal Heath Forum and so on. So I thought, let's leave university and
join the real world.
Join the real world.
Have you always had? Prior to that, did you have a sort of inclination that you were sort of slightly disillusioned with like the ivory tower kind of, you know, academia and its relevance to the wider society, or was it just a kind of moment when you invited that to Borstal Heath?
Yes, a bit disillusioned, but hadn't tweaked that it would be sensible to be out there in the real world. Until people from the real world, as it were, found me and said, come join us.
Because there's quite a few initiatives that sprang out of that similar kind of ethos. Like, for example, Chas Critchley was involved in a project in Handsworth,
yes,
called 40 Hall Road.
Yeah.
Did you have links with that kind of...
Informal links, and have kind of kept those sorts of links. And indeed, Borstal Heath now is one of 12 pilot neighbourhood renewal areas in the country. We've got links with other parts of the country, and some of the students of the day became involved in one or more of these local activities. So I would have said more substantial change took place in neighbourhoods around universities than within the universities themselves.
So after 68, you obviously, you said the Vice-Chancellor blocked your kind of permanent appointment after you've been in Manchester for a while. Do you think is that indicative for you of the institution of Birmingham University and its kind of, its politics and its outlook at the higher echelons of management?
Well, any empire is nervous of economy that wants to flex its muscles. There are people in the Council of Birmingham and in government who are nervous of neighbourhoods that are flexing their muscles and saying, we can do more to help ourselves if only you will stop doing things for and to us and enabling us to do things for ourselves. Kind of same difference, really. So almost institutionally predictable that people in positions of power would feel nervous about students out there in the colony saying, can we have a bit more power ourselves, can you have a bit less?
In terms of when you established Borstal Heath Forum, did you like maintain any links to the more kind of progressive academics that were around in Birmingham?
Well, like Stuart.
So did Stuart have some influence here, or?
As a kind of kindred spirit, but not directly, but we kept in touch for quite a while.
Do you think academics can have a role to play, a relevant role to play, like Stuart? I guess you could argue that Stuart's career has always been trying to straddle that boundary between intellectual work and politically relevant work. Because you obviously made a decision to leave.
Well, some disciplines more obviously than others, but sociology, psychology, politics ought to be engaging with people in neighbourhoods and the community as a natural extension of their studies anyway. Whether they should actually leave university and become fully engaged in communities is up to an individual and for them to make the choice.
So there's a lot of, I know at the time there's a lot of kind of you know, Marxist theory that's becoming increasingly mainstream, like Gramsci's notion of, I don't know if you remember it, like organic intellectuals, and being having something to say that is relevant to ordinary people's lives. You know, did you or do you still see yourself as being an organic intellectual?
Ish. Not necessarily following Gramsci or Marx in particular, but there's some sort of affinity there.
Well, just finally then, I just wanted to ask about your reflections about kind of where we are now politically, and you know, the Boursouflet Forum is still here.
Yeah.
But obviously the wider politics have kind of changed considerably since the late 1960s and 1970s. Is it difficult to keep this kind of community action going?
No.
Yeah.
The copy you gave me to start with, you have now changed. So I don't actually need it any longer. This is therefore draft.
Okay.
But you might find that interesting.
Oh, certainly would, yeah. So is this something that you've written quite recently then?
I'll dig something else out for you, which is a year or two out, but that's still in the making. But politicians nationally and locally are going, there's less money. Does this mean cuts and less for less? Whilst other people are saying, actually, the existing system wasn't that good at helping neighbourhoods like Borsley. Is there a different way of doing things that can produce more for less? By, for example, Borsley Heath used to be ridden with prostitutes and pimps. The police would arrest a prostitute, but she was out on the street corner ready to pay off her fine before the officer had finished their paperwork, so the problem wasn't shifted at all. But a trade unionist, with a little bit of help from me, organised residents to take their chairs on street corners, take down car curb crawler registration numbers, who thought, and shaming the demand away, the supply disappeared. So residents, for very little money, solved the problem that the police couldn't solve for a lot of money. And that's just when Hamid was over Christmas and Easter and Eid giving out food hampers to lone elderly people who, if they weren't helped, might finish up in institutional care, cost 50,000 quid a year out of love. Hamid keeps them living independently. So that says, actually, with a bit of lateral thinking, the top-down doesn't necessarily work when it does things to people. If it enables people, then
it's actually a more efficient way of.
Yeah.
So in a weird way, I'm sure you wouldn't agree with the language that David Cameron used, but you could call it something like the big society, or
or
someone might project that onto you.
Abdullah, who left just as you were coming in.
Yeah.
Cameron's been here 4 or 5 times, and something like this. Third time said, I'm going to come back, but here only for a couple of hours. I need to spend 2 or 3 days. It's anyone I can stay with overnight. And Abdullah.
Oh, really? Okay.
So, I would say we had an influence over the development, but it's not being implemented very well by the system. So I've written that to say this is the way to do it.
Right. Well, Dick, thank you very much for your time.
Not at all. Hope it's
very interesting.
Of some use.
Thank you.